preach this morning about replacing the old with the new. And I tell you what, I love springtime. I love seeing the tulips coming up and blooming. I love to see the trees budding out and the new life that's coming every spring. And it's just, it's things new, all things new. And I love this time of year. But we're going to be focusing our attention on the truths in Ephesians chapter 4. And, you know, God's, he wants you a couple of things. Number one, he wants you to be saved. He sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. He wants you to be saved. And God has given us much preaching here lately on how do we get saved? How do we become Christians? And it is by faith in Christ alone, nothing else. We completely trust Christ's work upon the cross. Our salvation has nothing to do with our work. It has nothing to do with our goodness. It's all by the grace of God. It's all what Christ did for us. At salvation, we make a change, and we change positionally. And this is a permanent position change. We become children of God. We're in the family of God. We're up in the hand of God. Nothing can pluck us out of the hand of God. Every Christian has a choice to make. Will you receive Christ as your Savior or will you not? Have you made that choice today? But then after you get saved and you have that positional change with Christ, he wants you to have a practical change with him. And that is a goal that's defined in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28. And the goal outlined in that scriptural passage is we want to be conformed to the image of Christ. And this is sanctification. And this is a practical process, and this takes place over time, and this will be completely done when we get our new glorified bodies in heaven one day, but we want to be pressing towards the mark and be conforming to the image of Christ, and that is sanctification. And so our goal is to continue to exercise unto godliness, and that's a process, exercise, and to you look at it from an athletic point of view. We had a scrimmage yesterday, and if I seem wore out today, it's because I'm Chris's assistant coach, and he's rough on me. I tell you what, he dogs me. I'm just wore out. He's got me doing all kinds of stuff, and I'm the assistant coach, and Pastor Tyler is the assistant to the assistant, and I think he just flat out quit on us. He just couldn't take it. I haven't seen him in a few weeks. Have you? I don't know. I think he went AWOL on us. Some people just can't take the heat, I guess. But you know, we're working with our softball team. And we've got, I think, maybe one or two that's played before. So everybody's brand new to them. And, you know, the first practice, Bobby, it's a little rough, you know. I mean, and we had our first scrimmage yesterday. And there was some, you know, it was some good points, some bad points. But you know what? I love coaching sports, because you watch, you know, the process throughout the season. They just get better and better and better. Now, what is it? They practice. They exercise. They get that coordination down, that muscle memory down. They get that experience, and they gain skill. They gain technique. They gain knowledge of the game. And you'll see a drastic improvement from the start of the season to the end of the season. And that's a joy of coaching. And that's what God wants us to do. We exercise unto godliness. Godliness, becoming you know, a godly person, is that doesn't happen overnight. It really doesn't. That's a process that takes place over time, and that's something that you really have to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit for. But after you receive Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of Christ dwells within you. You know, then we have a choice. We have a choice every single day. We're going to yield to the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. And when we do that, we're going to live in the power of the Spirit of God. Or we can choose to yield to the sinful flesh, which we still have after we get saved. There's a choice that you have to make. And so when we yield to the Spirit of God, we can become more like Christ. That is the goal. There's a battle that is always going on within a Christian on this earth. And again, that battle is often referred to in the Bible as the battle between the old nature and the new nature. The battle between the old man and the new man. If we look here in Ephesians chapter 4, if we read in verse number 24, the Bible says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." And that is the goal. You want to put on the new man. You want to live in the power of the new man. And in doing so, you will be conformed with the image of Christ. And you will make changes. There is no such thing as a static Christian. And, you know, that this indicates how God, He wants us to make this change and reflect His presence within us. And when you put on the new man, you got to put off the old man. The new man is the Spirit of God. It's the born-again part of you, the new life that's in Christ. The old man is the sinful flesh. And we put off the old man and we put on the new man. Let's read our text here this morning. And let's go back and let's start in verse number 17. Why don't you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? I love this passage of Scripture. The Bible says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walked, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling hath given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is Jesus, in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man and the corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, which and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are all members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands that which is good, and that which he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Thank you for your for listening so well. You can be seated, and let us pray. Our Heavenly Father God, I thank you for this time you've given us, Lord. I thank you for ministering to us through song this morning. Lord, it's been a joy to my heart. Lord, I pray, Lord, as you'll help us now as we get ready to present these words of truth. God, I pray you'll magnify your truth here today and do a work in our hearts this morning. God, I pray you'll have your will and your way in this service this morning. All these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the principle here all throughout the Christian life is putting off and putting on. Putting off and putting on. Let's say you have a problem with music. You're listening to the wrong kind of music. Well, some people, that's a stronghold with them. And they'll say, well, I mean, I love my music. I can't give up my music. You know, I just thrive off of music. I'm in the car when I get up in the morning, when I'm listening to my music. It makes me feel good, whatever. But you say, I know that's not the right kind of music. And you say, I don't want to give it up. If I give it up, it's not going to be no fun. I'm not going to have anything to enjoy. Well, you're looking at it wrong, okay? When you put off, you got to put on, all right? And God will give you a desire for a new kind of music, and it'll be better, okay? And this new kind of music will leave you not feeling angry and appealing. There's all kinds of music is a very powerful thing. You get the right kind of music, it's going to put joy and peace in your heart. It's going to help you prepare your heart to serve the Lord, and it's going to make you think of Christ, and you're going to be able to dwell upon Christ and have the and conform to the image of God. It's a very powerful thing. So there's a lot of things in your life when you put things off, you got to replace it. Now when God takes things away, or He wants us to, He don't take anything away. You give it up. It's your decision. It's your free will. But when you give it up, You replace it with something that He has, it's better. It's better. And that's something you got to take a step of faith to try that. Now let's look at some of the things in order to put off and to put on and to be able to replace the old with the new. There's several things, and we want to see the importance of it to make a difference and to be conformed to the image of the Christ, and that's the goal we must have. The first thing I want you to see is we must walk a different walk. And let's look here in verse number 17. The Bible says, "This I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." God intends for a believer in Christ to have a different kind of walk, a different kind of behavior than people of the world. It should be different. It should be different. The lifestyle of a Christian should reflect the Savior of the Christian. That's what it should. That's glorifying God. People see your life and it forms the right of opinion of who your God is. And so there's an entire movement, there's an entire culture, so to speak, that is being taught now and encourages you to just completely blend into the world. And this is a false teaching. And it says, you know, hey, it doesn't matter how you live. You don't have to be different. You can live however you want. You just claim Christ. And the idea here is just to make everyone comfortable and to, you know, develop a large gathering. But this is not a biblical teaching. It is not. God says, I do not want you to walk like this world. God says, I want you to be different. The Bible says, have you therefore no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness? Come out from among them, be you separate. There's a principle of separation for a Christian. And so I want you to notice, as he doesn't want us to walk according to this world, what is his description of this world? The first thing I want you to see is of this world's darkened condition. He speaks here in verse number 17 about the Gentiles that surround the children of the believers in Ephesus, and they're walking with a vanity of mind. So this term vanity of mind deals with philosophies and lifestyles that are completely empty. This means emptiness of mind. The world's philosophies are certainly empty. They are not going to leave you fulfilled. Paul warns of this in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Paul warns that there are certain philosophies that will cause you to get further away from God and not to be conformed to the image of his Son. These empty philosophies are a descriptor of this world's darkened condition. So you want to separate from that. You want to go in the opposite direction of that. You want to find out, hey, God, what is your way that you want me to walk in this life? How do you want me to do things tomorrow, Monday, when I go to work? And how do you want me to act? And not only because of this world's darkened condition, but this world's darkened understanding. In verse number 18, I want you to read here. It says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So those that are without Christ are spiritually blinded. They will not understand the spiritual importance. They will not understand spiritual application. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So God says that Satan is at work, and he's blinding many people from ever being able to see the gospel and the truth and how it liberates us and how it gives us new life. And people will grasp just about any kind of teaching. They'll hang on to something, and they're very proud to tell you about it. It's been very interesting just going out and netcasting. We've heard a lot of different things. We talked to somebody the other day, and they believe that everything was made by two dragons. That was a new one on me. I'd never heard that one. But just believe anything. I mean, people want to believe, I believe in reincarnation. So, well, if you believe in that, it doesn't really matter. You know, it affects you in your next life, but you got just all these infinite lives. You can just keep trying it again, you know. But that's not biblical teaching. That's not what the Bible teaches us. And so there's people that have a humanistic philosophy, and they believe that man is intrinsically good, and man does not need a Savior, and man will continue to get better and better and better. Well, take a look outside. Look at this world. Is that true? Absolutely not. Things are deteriorating and getting worse, and entropy always increases, and things go from order to disorder, and that is what we're seeing. And so we need a Savior. We need a new life in Christ. We need to be born again. We need to be saved from our sin, and we need to come out from among them and be separate and come out from this world and make a difference. And that is what we need to do. And so there is a darkened understanding, and that's due to the blindness of the heart. Look here in verse number 18. The Bible says, the God of this ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know, without the illuminating power of the Spirit of God, with the gospel of Christ, we are spiritually blind. We cannot see The smartest men in this world, they're blind without the gospel of Christ. They are. And all through the Bible, if you read the Apostle John, all the way to Apostle Paul, the world is described as being a dark place. He is the light of the world. He came in the darkness. They perceived him not. Their foolish hearts are darkened. So we see there's a blindness of heart. And not only that, but there's a darkened understanding because there's an unsensitive heart. I want you to read here in verse number 19. The Bible says, who being past feeling, notice that, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Now, we're not only to walk different from the darkness of this world, but walk differently from those that walk according to a depraved nature. This lasciviousness means wicked living. These people right here, they're spiritually blind and they're past feeling. They no longer feel. They no longer have a feeling toward the convicting Spirit of God. It's like a seared conscience. And so I want you to notice this past living. Some people come to a place in their life where they live in such wickedness, and they become numb to the truth, and they no longer feel that. And so when people have a problem, let's look at it from a medical standpoint. When somebody's got a problem, you know, you want to try to figure out how to fix that problem. And so the most important thing you can do from a medical standpoint is take a good history. A good history is 90% of your diagnosis, just about every medical problem you're ever going to come up against. So you take a good history and you find out, you know, how long ago did this start? What makes this better? What makes it worse? And when you get to dealing with pain, you want to know location. That's a key. Where does it hurt? Where does it hurt? Does it stay right there? Does it go somewhere else? And you try to determine these things, and it kind of helps you narrow down to what the problem is and how to fix the problem. Now, when you're dealing with pain, pain is a natural response of the body to tell you there's something wrong, right? And matter of fact, whenever it gets to a point where there's no longer any pain, sometimes, and there's still a problem, that's a really bad thing. That's a bad thing. That's the danger. You're in a danger. When you get to a point where you hear truth and it just doesn't bother you anymore, you're in a sinful lifestyle and it just doesn't bother you anymore, you're in a very dangerous place. You do not want to get past feeling. I always tell our young people, man, keep a sensitive heart. Keep a tender heart. I'm glad for the spirit of our young people. They've got a tender heart. They've got tender spirits. Young people, don't ever let that change. Don't ever get past feeling. And the Bible says they're given over to lasciviousness, to work, all uncleanliness with greediness. So this word work, it means to take pain to do your best. To take pain to do your best. This means there's people in the world because of a darkened heart, because they're no longer sensitive to the truth of God. People will really take pain to do their best to do uncleanliness. All right, so what does that mean? People get to the point where they work. They work to be wicked. They work to be as hateful as they can possibly be. People will work to find the most provocative clothing they can possibly find. They will work to get the most body piercings they can get. They will work to inflict the most pain on other people. They will work to just add to their addictions and get to their things that they're getting to, whatever it is, so bad to their habits, it harms themselves and it harms those that are around them. But the Bible doesn't want us to do that. It wants us to exercise godliness, not ungodliness. But this is when you get to this point where you're spiritually blind. You're living in a dark. You're not walking differently in this world. You get to a point past feeling where you work. You work to uncleanliness. And that is not God's plan for your life. And so God wants us to walk differently. So how do we walk differently? We see here, secondly, I want you to see that we must be different to make a difference. You know, our goal as Christians and our goal here at Mountain City Baptist Church is not just to exist and not just to hold on till Jesus comes. It's not just about me and my family, us four and no more, but we are here to make a difference. We want to make a difference on the people around us. We want to make a difference in our community. We want to make a difference to this world. We want to make an impact, and that's what God wants us to do. And as we conform to the image of Christ, we will be different. And if we do this and we do it in the right spirit and in the right power, we can make a difference. So how do we do this? How do we make a difference? And again, the principle here is we got to put off and put on. So the first thing is we got to put off. We put off. So we put off the old. Now, if we look here in our text, there's three things that are mentioned here that we must put off. And the first thing that we must put off is we must put off the old disposition. Let's look down here in verse number 22. The Bible says that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. So this is the old disposition. This is the old life. That former conversation is that old life of the old man, those deceitful lusts. Whenever you see the word conversation, it's talking about your way of life and the way that you live. You want to put that off. The new birth and the indwelling Spirit of God that comes with, that accompanies a new birth, will create a new disposition and a new life within you. You want to yield to that. You want to develop that part of you, and that will change everything about you. That will change everything. That will create love. That will create joy. That will create peace. Yet you must put off the old life, the anger, the lust, the malice, all those things that accompany that old sinful flesh. And not only do we must put off the old life, but we must put off the old desires. It says, which is corrupt unto deceitful lust. So the old man, that old sinful flesh will only produce corrupt desires in your life. The new nature will create love and holiness and godliness, yet the old desires will produce selfishness and frustration and destruction, and you're going to reap what you sow. You got a choice to make every single day, and you got to put these things off. Put off the old desires. Not only put off the old desires, but we need to put off the old direction. Let's look in verse number 23. The Bible says this. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The direction of your life, church, the direction of your life can be traced to the way that you think. Now, as a Christian, you want to develop the mind of Christ. In Second Peter, it's talking about you adding to your faith. The first thing you add to your faith is virtue. All right, you want to become like the person of Christ. You want to have the mind of Christ. That's what that is. And so your direction, you want to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And the direction of your life, again, is traced by the way that you think. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you want to change the direction of your life, you must be renewed in your mind with the Word of God. The Word of God is the tool the Holy Spirit uses to transform our mind. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1-2, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but ye transformed through renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So your mind, you got to change the way you think. When you change the way you think, you'll change your direction of your life. And your mind needs to be renewed. So, Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. So you're putting off and you're putting on. You all see, all throughout the Bible, you see the principles of putting off and putting on. Putting off and putting on. In Psalm 1 is a great example of putting off and putting on. What does Psalm 1:1 start out? It says, blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's putting off. Don't do those things. But then the second verse is putting on. What's a new man to do? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree that is planted by the river of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. So you put off, but you put on. You meditate upon the Word of God. You put those things on, and then you'll be a fruitful person. And that's what God's desire for you is to do. So you put these things off. Put off the old life. Put off the old desires. Put off the old direction. Every single day you get up, you've got a choice. All right? Your choice is you're going to please yourself or you're going to obey God. All right? You're either going to trust in yourself and what you want, or you're going to trust God and you're going to take Him at His Word. This goes all the way back to the beginning, folks. What happened in the Garden of Eden? What happened in Genesis chapter 3? Okay? Adam and Eve, they had a choice to make. They had what God said. It says, don't take of that fruit on that tree. Don't take of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then what did they see? They saw it, and they saw that the fruit was good to look upon. And they believed the lie from the devil that this fruit would make them wise. And the fruit appealed to the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And they chose to please themselves. They made a choice. Young people, every morning when you wake up and your parents, they tell you, listen to me, young people. They say, hey, kids, get ready for school. It's time to start school. You got a choice to make. You can either please God or please self. All right? Now, what does God tell you to do? God says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? It's right. You're going to make a choice. I'm going to do what mom says or dad says. Or you're going to lay there and you say, you know what, I'm really tired. I just don't really feel like doing school today. I think I'm just going to stay in bed. All right? You're going to please self. You're going to please God. Now, if you please yourself, what are you yielding to? You're yielding to the old man. You're yielding to that old life. And what is that old life going to bring you? It's going to bring you anger and frustration and unhappiness. But if you'll do what God says and yield to that new life in Christ, that's going to bring you joy and peace and satisfaction. And you've got to learn to make that decision. Yeah, husbands, you've got to make a decision with your wives. When your wife has a need or something, you've got to make a decision. You're going to love her as Christ loved the church. What does that mean? That means that Christ put that need above his own needs. Husbands, we're to put our wives' needs above our needs, and we're to love them in that way. And we got to make a decision. And a lot of times, guys, what we are, we're just selfish. We're rotten. And we just want to please ourselves. And that's not God's plan for a biblical marriage. God's plan is we put her needs above our own. And when you start practicing that, you're going to have a wonderful marriage. I tell you what, there's all this principle all throughout, put off and put on. So we're going to put on. What do we put on? We put on the new in verse number 24. The Bible says in verse 24, it says, and we put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The old man is after the sinful nature. It's what we call the Adamic nature. Going back to Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden, the Adamic nature is when sin entered in the world. Romans 5:12 illustrates this truth very well. It says, for by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So sin came into the world when Adam and Eve, that was the first humans. They sinned. He was the first man of the human race. He chose to sin, and he got a sin nature, and he passed that sin nature to every descendant. We're all descendants of Adam. It went all the way down to us sitting in the room right now, and we'll pass it down to our descendants. And so that sin nature is with us. And Christ, Jesus Christ, he is the second Adam from above, okay? He's the second Adam. He is God who became flesh. He was the incarnate God. He came down to this earth, and he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And when he paid the price on the cross for our sins, that we can have new life and new nature. He didn't deserve to die. He didn't deserve anything. But when we trust Christ for our salvation, we have that new nature. We have that as what it's saying here. And we are after God created in righteousness and true holiness. That is through Jesus Christ. That new man is described in verse number 24. What happens when you put on the new man? It's going to change everything about you. This is your choice. God will not force this on you. He won't force this on like he won't force salvation on you. It's your choice. But you can choose to yield to the Spirit of God, and God will change your life. You say, I can't change. I can't change. Don't believe that lie. You can change. Okay? Every problem you got, and you think, my problem's unique. You don't understand my situation. No, 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 no. The Bible says there's no temptation taking you such as common to man, but God is faithful, and he will give a way to escape. You may be able to bear it. Okay? God will give you. For every problem you have is traced to a root problem of sin. In every sin, there is a biblical solution. Have victory over that sin. You can have victory. You can have change. You can be changed. God can change your life. You yield to the Spirit of God. You meditate upon God. You have faith in God. And you develop that relationship with him. And what's he going to help you with? We're going to see the first thing. He's going to help you have a new talk. A new talk in verse number 25. The Bible says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one with another. You know, when you yield to the Spirit of God, your life will reflect it even the way that you speak. I mean, it's amazing. He'll change the way you talk. He'll change it. You have to identify speech patterns and things. God can help you. A lot of times people that swear a lot, it becomes very habitual, and it's instinctive. It's instinctive. But God can help you change that. He can change your speech. You got a sharp tongue. I'm not good with that. Like, I think of a good comeback like 2 days later. That's me. But some people are just really good, man. In the moment, they can just put somebody in their place. Maybe you've got that gift or that curse, maybe, because a lot of times that gets you in trouble, don't it? But you know, God can change that. He can change that. He can give you a new talk, and he'll give you a new demeanor. In verse number 26, the Bible says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." And verse number 30, the Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption." 31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and all with all malice." He'll help you with a bad temper. Anybody here have problems with bad temper? You don't have to raise your hand. But, you know, the Bible will help you. If you yield to the Spirit of God, you can be angry and sin not. Now, what does that mean? That means you can be angry at a problem, but not at a person. Okay? That's righteous indignation. That means we can be angry at sin, but we can still love the sinner. That's righteous indignation. Verse number 27 says, "Neither give place to the devil." You realize the danger of anger? When you lose your temper, that gives place to the devil. Proverbs says, "He that hath no control over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down without walls." An angry parent will have angry children. This gives place to the devil. This will affect your entire home. Angry spouses will have strife in their marriage. How do I not be angry? How do I get over that? Well, you got to put off and put on. You got to exercise godliness. You got to develop that new spirit that is within you. And it's not anything that you can do. It's complete dependence upon God. It's trusting in Him, taking Him at His word, and learning to have a walk with God. And when you yield to the Spirit of God, when you meditate upon the Word of God, this will help you have a different talk and a different demeanor. If the world, think about this, okay, in order for us to make a difference, we must be different in order to make a difference. If the world does not see anything different about us, if they do not see a different speech, if they do not see a different temperament in us, why would they want what we have? What's different what we got than what they got? So we must be different to make a difference. God will give you an honest life. If you look in verse number 28, the Bible says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands, that thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth." It'll give you an honest life. You know, you'll get through things the right way and start having some integrity. And that's a wonderful thing. Sometimes when you get into a practice of dishonesty, that's a very hard habit to break. It's very difficult, but God can give you victory over that. And the Bible says, let your yea be nay, and you don't need to swear. I shouldn't have to say I swear by my mom's grave or my grandmother's grave. I swear by my grandmother's grave that this is true. No. Let your yea be yea. If I tell you it's going to be, then it's going to be. I'm telling you the truth. You shouldn't have to swear by anything. Just let your yea be nay. And so honesty. You'll have an honest life. And then fourthly, we see you'll have a forgiving spirit. In verse number 32, it says, "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ's sake for God, Christ's sake hath forgiven you." When you grow in the Lord and you be conformed to the image of Christ, you realize that it's not on your own power. It's nothing that you've done. This is all about Christ in you. And you're in constant reminder of what Jesus has done for you. And when you start thinking about how much Jesus has forgiven you of, what makes it a lot easier to forgive somebody else of what they did to you? Because that little debt against you is pennies compared to the billions of dollars of debt that God forgave you of, for all the sin of your life. And it helps you forgive. What does that do? Well, that helps your relationships at home, doesn't it? Helps your relationships at work. It helps you make a difference with other people. because you can have a forgiving spirit. And so these are the things that we must put off. These are things that we must put on. And the third thing I want you to see here that we must do is we must love Christ. We must love Christ to be different. Verses 20 and 21, I kind of skipped over, but these are key in the passage. All right? Let's go back to verse number 20, and let's read that. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? All these things of the old man, you did not learn that ungodly lifestyle from Jesus. No, no, no. Jesus came to this earth. He taught us truth. He set an example for right living. And how do we do this? How do we put off and how do we put on? It starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. You say, I try so hard. I've done it many times. I've tried many times. And every time I slip back into my old ways, I slip back into the old man. You know, how do I affect change? The key is a close relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the answer. You exercise godliness and devotion will lead to discipline. And you learn this. It's habitual. It's day by day. You must develop these habits and you put off and you put on. Jesus says, if you want to be his disciple, you got to take up your cross and follow me. Why does he compare that with discipleship? Taking up your cross. What is a cross a sign of? The cross is a sign of death. Nobody went on the cross and survived. Everybody that went on the cross, it was a death sentence. You take up your cross, you die daily. What do you die to? You die to the old man. You die to that old life. And you're going to live in Christ. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And that is the secret. That is what we want to do. And so you develop a relationship. When you love Christ, you want to live for Christ. And so you're going to have to learn this every single day. And Jesus is your teacher. Jesus is your teacher. I want you to notice something really important here in this passage. The Apostle Paul does not point the believers at Ephesus. He does not point them to a creed. He does not point them to a denomination. He points them to a person. He points them to Jesus Christ. It's all about a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. How's your relationship this morning? Relationships, they must have a beginning, a point. All right, they must have a beginning point. Have you begun your relationship? Jess and I, we met back in 2003. There was a beginning point. I remember the first time I ever saw her. I remember there was a beginning point of our relationship. I saw her, and then shortly after I was introduced to her, and that's when I first met her. And over the years, we'll celebrate 15 years in May, and it's been wonderful. We developed that relationship, and it's been awesome. But you need to develop your relationship with Christ. Just like you do with your friend, just like you do with family, you develop that relationship. You must have a starting point. You must be born again. And again, it's not about some creed or some. It's about a person of Christ. There's teaching some churches that I believe the Catholic Church has come out and said, the Vatican has said that the church is the only instrument of salvation for all people. All right? A lot of people wouldn't know that. A lot of people that go to Catholic churches wouldn't know that, but that's what they believe that. They are the universal church. They are the one. Well, that is, you know, what does the Bible say? Acts chapter 4, verse number 12 says, neither is salvation under heaven, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. All right, so I just, if you go to Freedom Last, you'll get that. I'm just really happy about getting that verse right. But that was my memory verse for last week. But that's the way. It's through Jesus Christ. It's about the person of Christ. You know, don't place your faith. Don't put your dependence on your good works, on your baptism, your church attendance, what you gave to charity. Trust Christ. Trust Christ. You must start. You meet the Lord, and then you learn to love the Lord. The Bible says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind, all your soul." This is the first and greatest commandment, and that is the key. And so we must learn daily. And then the second thing we must exercise daily, we got to put off and put on. Put off and put on. And key is here in verse number 30. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You're sealed, okay? What does that mean when you're sealed to the day of redemption? when you go to buy a house, when you have a real estate transaction, a lot of times you put down an earnest payment, all right? You put down, like, you might put down a $500 earnest payment. and you put the house under contract. And that means that, hey, I mean business with this. I'm putting down $500 that I am mean business, and I'm going to buy this in 30 days. I'm signing the contract, and this house becomes mine, or maybe mine in the banks, or whatever. So, but you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. Now, one day, like I said, we're going to be in heaven before you know it, all right? And it's all going to be completely new. You're not going to have the sinful flesh to deal with. You're not going to have the old man to deal with anymore. But until then, you have an earnest payment, and you're sealed by it. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside you. That's the new life in Christ. And you can access the power of the Holy Spirit to have a victorious Christian life. You've got to learn to yield to the Spirit of God. And God will give you victory. But you've got to exercise that every single day. Again, you've got a choice to make every day when you get up. Every day, you've got a choice. Am I going to please myself right here, or am I going to obey God? Am I going to yield to the Spirit of God and obey? Because the Holy Spirit's always going to yield you. He's always going to magnify the Word of God. He's always going to magnify the person of Christ. He's always going to have you do what God wants you to do. And so it gives victory. And it's not the Christian life is not about getting rid of everything fun, okay? It's about getting rid of things that are not right, and that things that will not give you true joy and peace. And it's about replacing those things with better things that will produce eternal results and will give you joy and peace. Things are different now. Amen. I wonder what God will do to your life. I've seen God do some miracles in people's lives. He did a miracle in my life. You yield to the Spirit of God, you'll grow in the Lord. You'll grow in the Lord. God wants you. He wants you to change. He wants you to change. There's no such thing as a static Christian. You're either conforming to the image of the Son, or else you're getting away from God. One or the other. Nobody stays in the same place. I tell you, everybody is welcome here at Mountain City Baptist Church. I don't care what you wear. I don't care. I don't care what you've done. You come into this church. But I will tell you this. After you get under the preaching of the Word of God, you're going to yield to that, and you're going to change with it, or else you're not. It's going to lead you to a decision. And it's wonderful to see people come in, and then God begin to change their life. And some people come in, and they're like, they won't stay. They won't stay. And I hate that. I hate that. But I trust that you will. I trust that you'll stay with God. And let Him develop His best in your life. And you will not regret it. You will not regret it. Eternity will tell that we are telling the truth. And let God replace the old with the new, with better. Let's all bow our heads here today.